Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. I regret to inform you that you are dangerously close to college football. That's good news and bad news, because the bad news is you're not ready. The good news is you're listening to the internet's only college football podcast. So you're in the right place. If you're listening to any other podcast, it's not a college football podcast.
Thanks for clarifying that it's the internet's only. Secure business systems that are not linked, they might have their own college football podcast. You might have a closed circuit podcast somewhere, but this one, it's the internet's only one.
Those mixtape podcasts, man, you got to look out for them.
Your local library has a college football podcast.
The intranet.
You need a VPN to log into other podcasts, but not this one. Thanks, Al Gore. Al Gore made this podcast.
I think the next format for podcasts, the next big one, is definitely the LP. That's it. We're just going to drop them on vinyl.
Drop a beat.
If you think these pipes sound delightful over your current LTE connection streaming through your phone into your automobile or ATV, some of you might be listening to this on an ATV. I hope you are. If so, ride free, brothers and sisters.
Subscribe to this podcast and receive 37 5.25-inch floppy disks a week containing one episode total.
What you got on these CDs? Well, I got volumes 1 and 2 of Broderbund's latest hit, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego Remastered? And 3 episodes of the Shutdown Fullcast.
Where in the world is San Diego State?
I know.
It's in San Diego.
Dang it. Give the shop away, dog.
The game is for kids to figure out geography. Don't just give them the answer.
Stolen valor from children.
It would be, see.
Brian's like, yeah, I passed second grade.
Well, just, why wouldn't you go with a harder school? Like, where in the world is Northwestern?
Because it's not where in the world is Carmen Northwestern.
It should be.
You know how awful Carmen Northwestern would be? She's like, I'm here in Bogota to report on the conditions affecting the Bogota, I don't know, the Bogotan problems.
Today.
Shout out to Bogota. I'm sorry.
I know. Shout out to anyone listening to this in Bogota.
If bad things are happening there, I'm sorry about them.
We're the only college football podcast that will cover you from Colombia to Colombia to Colombia.
Shout out to Don, my former ESPN travel partner, who once booked a colleague of mine for the SEC women's softball tournament into the wrong Columbia. You say the wrong Columbia between Missouri and South Carolina? No, 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 no. Hope you're well, Don.
It's a complex rivalry. So before we begin, we do have, speaking of computer games, we do have an audio setting for you. You may either select 5 children, toddlerish and grade school age, or neighbor's weed whacker, which you are currently hearing. We can switch that setting if you like.
Can the children sing hauntingly?
No, they scream and run. And
ooh, okay.
They will not do any choreographed activity at all.
What did the children have for breakfast?
I don't know. I left and came back.
Okay.
So it's possible they've been eating that little cereal made out of Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, they had jelly beans for all I know.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, they make flavor ice the breakfast cereal.
I'm an old-fashioned girl. I'm a traditionalist. I'm going to go with bugs. Bugs have gotten us this far.
Okay.
Bugs and machines, yeah.
Yeah, if at any time we'd like to change the setting, just let me know. I'll go for a walk.
Would bugs. You like to know more?
Yeah, bugs, the popcorn shrimp of tomorrow.
Wow, dude.
Jason, who are we previewing this week?
We, the third conference in our preview series, we have previewed the very famous Conference Red and Conference Blue SA, and now it is time for Conference Yellow. In case you're just now joining us, we reorganized the upper half-ish of FBS into conferences based around jersey colors. Today, guess what? Teams who fancy yourself gold, you're yellow.
Can we call this the Piss 12?
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. There's nothing to dislike about that.
You know, you just gave every like low information SEC fan the name for the Pac-12
or the Big 12. That's the fun part. Or the Big 12.
So the schools that Ryan is referring to as piss-colored include Army, FSU, Georgia Tech, Michigan, Purdue, UCF, along with schools who just they're just yellow. They don't
Ryan
go for
Manny
the,
said the troops had pee-pee problems.
App State, Cal, Iowa, Mizzou, Toledo, and West Virginia are honest yellow teams. The others call themselves gold and or maize.
Or they're rich, bitch.
Rich people piss, too.
How do you
prove
know?
Prove it.
Damn.
Yeah. I know I have proof because I've seen photo of...
Spencer has the pee tape?
No.
Spencer has the pee tape!
I do! And I have a picture of David Bowie peeing into a toaster. That's actually a real photo.
Is that one and the same? Is that the same piece of media?
It's part of my exhibit at Fernbank Children's Museum here in Atlanta, debuting, which is Famous People Peeing. It's wildly inappropriate, unpopular. Please come see it.
I heard this like swell of bug noise behind Jason as you were saying that, and I was like, they're
coming
to claim us. We deserve
arose.
That.
Yeah.
That's the listeners saying, get to the fucking content. Stop it.
Wait, what on earth? Why would we start getting to the content now?
First of all, Ryan, we call them readers.
Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, readers.
People listen to this podcast are called readers.
Yeah, right.
Do we want to start with the actual yellow division or with the fake yellow division?
You decide, Jason. You are the master of ceremonies.
So last week we did paper, rock, scissors. That was smooth, efficient, brief, orderly, lean.
That was beautiful.
This time let's do a coin flip. I don't have a coin. I'll flip the nearest object.
I was going to say, I have a lid of a candle.
Okay, that works.
All right, so the head of the candle is going to say 35-hour burn time, and tails is the flip side. We're going to make tails the piss yellow side because it is kind of like a lid. You could pee into it a very small amount. Mm-hmm. Were you so inclined? All right, who is calling it?
Spencer, call it.
All right, you ready?
I'm going to call...
Heads or tails, it's a coin flip.
I know.
You know how this works. Actually, wait, time out. I have something to share. This is the first time. No. Since this is the first time Spencer and I are recording back from vacation, I need to tell you guys something that happened on the way back. And we spent several days in the car. Spencer and I spent many days in the car over the course of our interminable partnership. And on the way back, it's like day four in the car. I'm grumbling. There's a 9-year-old mewling in the back seat, and we're in Virginia, which is the worst state in the nation to drive through. It is 15 hours in any direction to drive through it. It has a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit, and it has state troopers who will ticket you for, I think Godfrey actually got popped for like 4 over at one point. But if you go over 80, they'll throw you in jail. It's a terrible place. Don't go there. So we're driving through Virginia, and I just kind of grouse out loud about how I miss Tennessee, where the speed limits are 70 miles an hour. And unless you are actively murdering someone, Tennessee state troopers will just let you blaze on by. And, you know, he needed killing as a valid defense also. So I'm grousing about how, you know, is my beloved, you know, are there any East Coast states that we're driving through that have a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit, or are we going to be stuck going 65 for the remainder of the trip? It was a dad-type grouse, but, you know, I was driving on a family trip. It was a dad-type situation. And I said, are there any East Coast states that are going to give us a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit? And Spencer goes, Texas! And I look at him and I said, Spencer, what do you think East Coast means? And he looks at me and he says, Alabama? And I said, Spencer, coast, the East Coast of America. And he goes, wait, so what would you consider Florida?
That's third coast.
And I said, Spencer, that the entire like right side of Florida is the east. It's the end of America.
Let's start with a fundamental question. Spencer, what is a coast?
No. We're skipping over the coda, good. Which is, he said, the last thing I asked him is how would you, I did what you did, Ryan. I followed your leadership. I telescoped backwards and said, wait, where do you think the East Coast is? And that's when Spencer told me he thinks it means the East Coast of the Mississippi River.
Uh-huh.
And beyond.
Yeah, that's where Texas is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, that's not.
Which, first of all, yeah, first that
there,
was
there are several fundamental mistakes here.
Portugal, you're East Coast.
You know.
So is it I'll just anything at anything Atlantic Ocean? Because
I just, you know, cut it in half. Cut the country in half.
It's a coast.
Right.
So there's not two words for this. It just means the one thing.
Which beach are you going into if you're
Spencer,
in Indiana?
Let me ask the question again. What is a coast?
It's what we're doing right now, frankly.
In your heart. That's where it is.
It's the Atlantic Ocean. I think it's valid.
I mean, yeah, I just cut it up, you know?
Wait, because Texas is on the Gulf?
Yeah, oh, the Gulf's in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah, Gulf's in the Atlantic. It's an extension of that. Therefore, it's East Coast. Thank you, Jason.
This is why your son didn't get into gifted.
Texas has an SEC team. What's the E stand for?
C. East. Hmm? Yeah.
Euros, actually.
Congratulations, the world Missouri. Market. Congratulations, Missouri. You're a beach vacation destination now.
Now you're calling Greg Sankey and the official sausage of the SEC, Johnsonville Brats, wrong.
I have made it a policy in my life to fear no man named Greg.
The good news is, on a not that long of a timeline, Spencer will be right.
Missouri okay, anyway. Also touches the Atlantic Ocean via the Mississippi River.
Moving on, if you're astonished, anyway, thank you all for being with me on this journey and on this recreation of the journey we were on last week. What I'm just saying is, if you think it's weird that Spencer is confused by a coin flip, buddy, just come on spring break with us next year.
Not enough parts. Like, if you have, you know, simple variables, I can't do it.
Okay, so I'm going to put this thing in the air, and while it's in the air...
Why? Don't let Spencer call it. Let Jason call it.
Okay, Jason, you ready? I'm going to flip it on three, and you're going to call it, okay?
Okay.
One... two, three.
Tails.
It is heads.
So what's that mean, Holly?
Tails was going to be the piss division because you could pee very slightly into it.
Okay.
So we're doing the other one.
Okay. So we're starting with Ryan and Spencer's division.
Yes! Victory!
Oh, thank God.
Spencer, our teams are Army, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Michigan, Purdue, UCF. Where would you like to begin?
I would like to start. Let's do Michigan last because I got a finisher for you there.
Right. The Beatitudes tell us that the leaders and the best come last.
Or third.
I was going to say.
It is also not the Beat Ohio States. So.
Or third. I
it's
thought
the Beatitudes, not the Beatitudes.
I figure I can knock off the team that I think is going to be our rock bottom here.
Okay.
Okay. And if you can find it, if you have a prescription for a team that is lower than this, I'll be kind of surprised.
You're going to say Georgia Tech.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're the worst team in our fancy yellow mustard division. Okay. That's not necessarily the fault of anyone there, okay? Because for a long time, Georgia Tech, if you don't know, they ran the triple option. When you run the triple option in life, it's comparable to a number of things, right? It's comparable to, I'm going back to law school, y'all. It's comparable to, I'm going to use a belly putter. It's comparable to, you know what? Maybe it's time I admitted and just dropped the top and shaved my head. It's a compromise with life and circumstances.
I wear a bathing suit all day.
You know what? Swim shirts are fine. Swim shirts are a perfectly legitimate thing.
It's for UV protection.
My family has a history of skin cancer. What's your family? White people.
We get skin cancer right on the tummy. Don't get it anywhere else.
No, yeah. I actually did have like a freckle that I had to shave off my stomach by a dermatologist last year. Has my stomach ever seen the sun? Nope, I'm a lady.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And the triple option is,
I think I probably left the lights on too long, like in the kitchen or something. Gave me skin cancer.
At one point, Georgia Tech admitted that they couldn't eat spicy food after 5 p.m. anymore. And they adopted the triple option under Paul Johnson. One other thing they gave up doing was recruiting in earnest. Because for a long time, Georgia Tech just kind of, you know, took whatever they could get in and you know, could put on their pants right.
Going out on the road, that's skin cancer for sure. You kidding me?
Yeah, no. In Atlanta, one of the most heavily recruited college football talent hives in a 100-mile direction any way you choose to go, they managed to rack up following recruiting rankings, all right, from 2015 to 2018 in order. 2015, a robust 41st, then 57th, 53rd, and 57th. To give you a little bit of context, these are some of the schools who are their neighbors in the recruiting rankings in that area. Because you might say, well, there are 130 teams. That's not too bad, right? That's not, yeah, here's who they're, who's who, these are the neighbors, talent-wise, for what we're looking at here. Wake Forest, Vanderbilt, Washington State, Northwestern, Duke, and Rutgers.
Titans, champions.
Mm-hmm.
Drivers of local industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So enter Jeff Collins. New coach. Gonna change the way they do pretty much everything. That includes admitting that they're in Atlanta. In case you don't know, Jeff Collins has a hat that says 404 on it. I don't know if Paul Johnson actually knows that the area code here is 404 because he just walks up to a phone and dials seven numbers, just like they did in the 70s. And if the phone doesn't give him
like
who he wants.
That was five numbers, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Like five numbers.
Dial Klondike 538 to reach Paul Johnson.
That's actually what he named all of his kids.
I'm just going to keep talking to this phone until I get
Kilo 878, get your ass off that swing set.
I'm going to holler. I don't need a phone. It's the way we did it in Western Carolina. So actual modern day recruiting and football coming back to Atlanta. Collins is an excellent recruiter. He has recruited excellent recruiters to come help him recruit, like Brent Key, who was a one of the gentlemen who is now exiled from Tuscaloosa, invited to see other opportunities along with everyone else in the Alabama staff. And my favorite thing that happened this past off season, recruited a lot of Georgia Tech guys. They're like a pretty committed, coherent group of people at this point. We'll see how long that lasts under the 2019 season. Cause I count three wins, y'all. I think there's, I don't see much hope on offense. You're going to have to learn to do everything differently with guys who can't compete with the talent they're facing. For instance, like, you know, against Clemson, who you have to play on the road. Frankly, against Temple, who's going to give you everything you want and more. And against your peers at Duke, because that's about where your talent level is at Duke. And you have to face them on the road, much less same with UVA and a better team that you're going to have to face on the road in Miami. You do get three home games to end it, though. Congratulations. The last one is against Georgia. They're going to beat you by like 50 points. Just rack it. That's what's just book it. It's a character building opportunity, okay? If you're scientifically minded, which as a Tech fan you might be, data collection. Just getting some stuff on film, y'all. They're recruiting well. Like, they have a top 20 class at this point. They're probably going to come out even a little higher next year just because that's one thing this staff does real well. But it's going to be ugly. I got one more fact about Georgia Tech, which is this. Their defensive coordinator is Andrew Thacker, and he has a son, and he named that son Bear.
Better than Jeff.
Way better than Jeff.
Yeah, no offense.
I'm not saying this to point out,
At least it's Jeff with a G.
What a laughable name. I'm pointing this out to say, man, I missed an opportunity. So I'm done having kids, but Bear? That's making me have second thoughts.
Not done having bears.
That's true.
Can I say something totally unsupported by any evidence and it's just a sure. wild, stupid hunch?
No.
This is the shutdown full cast.
Get that shit out of here, Ryan.
I think the transition away from the triple option is not going to be that big a deal.
I think you're right.
The talent gap you're right about. And
talent gap is the biggest issue. They have a running quarterback and a kind of passing quarterback. And to quote a cliche, which is completely true, that means you don't have a quarterback.
But I don't think leaving the triple option is going to end up being that big of a deal. And I think you might see as soon as like early November, you can sort of, I think you will probably see some of it starting to come together and it not feel like, oh boy, they just don't have any clue what they're doing. I think that is, I just have a hunch that it's not going to be that drastic or that dramatic, that part of it.
I would hope that was true for some people, friends of mine. I think the talent cap is a bigger issue than anything, and they don't have anybody who's going to be able to really, first of all, by design, they're not going to try to do a whole lot because Collins is a defensive-minded coach first, and that's where most of this team's talent is. Second of all, they don't have a lot of pieces to do all of that. So, you know, like if I were going to say, hey, when do you want to watch them? I'd watch them toward the end of the year where they get a nice home stretch. They probably sort of know what they're doing. The defense should be playing pretty well. Collins' defenses have always been good. And offensively, they'll have the humility they need to get through the games, right? Like, okay, boys, punting, every play ends with a kick. Every play ends with a kick, right? Like every drive. And in Georgia Tech's case, this is going to be punter.
I mean, the most enjoyable thing they can do year one, and the most true to the spirit of Georgia Tech, which we talked about at the Atlanta Live show, focus your entire efforts on beating Georgia. Do whatever you have to, you know, install a fake offense that you run the rest of the year, and then the actual offense that you've been practicing and that you are going to use against them, deploy that against Georgia. Say players are hurt who aren't. Play players wildly out of position, and all of a sudden, wait, you had him on the roster as the long snapper, but he's actually your primary wideout? What the fuck? Like, I think that's what you should do. Recognize that this is a transition year, sandbag hard, try to fuck Georgia's year up. It's tradition.
I think every Tech fan is on board with this.
Oh, they, yeah, they're fine with this. They're like,
admit it too.
When you say three wins, they're like, mm-hmm, about one of those.
I do think they're going to have some competition for the bottom of our division, though. And I think a lot of it comes from Florida State, the school that right now, thank you to Matt Baker at the Tampa Bay Times for writing an article about this recently, is too broke to fire Willie Taggart if things don't go well this year. Willie Taggart has a $17 million buyout, roughly, if they fire him this year. My immediate reaction to that is, man, Jimbo, why didn't you stay? You had a huge buyout that they definitely couldn't afford, and you could have just fucked around all day. You could have coached shirtless.
Jimbo's great at that.
You could have skipped away games and just sent a cardboard cutout with an iPad crudely taped to it. You could have done whatever you want.
You know who else is great at fucking around all day?
No, don't do it. No.
No.
Never let me do anything fun!
Relationships come in many different forms. Holly, I think what you're trying to say is that the offense for Florida State was fucking around all day because they were garbage last year. The only Power 5 teams worse than them in offensive S&P+ were Louisville, Michigan State, Kansas, Cal, and Rutgers. Florida
it's
State
funny,
won
because he's a terrible person.
Florida State won 5 games last year. Of them, they barely beat Boston College by 1 point. They barely beat Louisville, and they needed a fourth quarter comeback to beat FCS Samford. Although Samford's a good FCS team. They only had one loss where they didn't basically get their ass kicked, and that was the Miami game, because Miami is cursed to, no matter how good they are, no matter how bad Florida State is, always be in extreme peril of losing to Florida State. Will it be better this year? Probably, because last year was terrible.
Last year was terrible.
Bottom of the program barrel. Terrible. But will it be significantly better this year? I don't know. Here's my actual answer. Yes, it will. And not for any good reason, but just because the way the karmic balance of the universe will work out is that Florida State's going to win 9 games this year, puff out its chest, and FSU Twitter, long hibernating, long sleeping, will awaken with a terrible thirst for online conflict. So
is FSU Twitter America's Chavs?
Jesus.
I've been watching a lot of Love Island.
Profs not Govs.
Profs not Govs. This is our motto for 2019.
The other team that I think
no,
Spencer,
really nothing.
All right. I don't want to get into Florida State being Love Island after what you just said about Jimbo Fisher.
What makes you think that I was implying anything about Jimbo Fisher?
Were you not?
Excuse me.
Okay. The other team, Spencer, in our division that I think maybe, kind of surprisingly, could be at the bottom is Purdue. Because even though Jeff Brohm was a tasty coaching morsel in the carousel last offseason, did not end up leaving, but had opportunities to do so, they were just fine overall. They obviously had big moments, down moments, all of that. I'm not confident that like they're necessarily turning a corner. I think frisky, edge of bowl eligible team still feels like the realistic place for them right now. The good news is that Jeff Brohm has just seen so much shit in his life.
Yeah, he had to overcome being named Jeff with a J.
This is what Jeff Brohm has done in his short life. He played for Howard Schnellenberger at the University of Louisville. He was a minor league baseball player. He was a rookie third stringer on that San Diego Chargers team that got absolutely fucking waxed in the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. He played in the XFL where, does anyone know what his chosen nickname would have been if his team had done custom nameplates on the back like He Hate Me?
Bob Johnson.
J-Bro.
Wow. Wow.
He has coached for Ron Zook, for Bobby Petrino, and for Steve Cragthorpe. Robbie Petrino, of course, is Bobby Petrino's British cousin. He's just seen a lot. He's broken like 8 fingers on his throwing hand. Don't ask how that's possible. Just true. And he has what I would call a frisky but workable schedule this year. Out of conference, Purdue plays Nevada, Vanderbilt, and TCU. Across the division, they play Penn State, Maryland, and Indiana. So, like, a improvement in the wins column is on the table. At the same time, like, could Purdue fuck around and lose to Vanderbilt? Yeah, they could. They're still figuring it out, and I think they're trending in the right direction. But I don't think they're like, oh, yeah, they're definitely the class of the fancy yellow division at this point.
I'm here to discuss another team, which I believe is, they are a class, you have to say, they are a class team.
Nice transition.
Okay. As in, but also I will say not, if you have the greatest.
God, I wish we transcribed this show.
The greatest discrepancy between talent and output in the entirety of college football.
Google has started transcribing podcasts.
Don't do this one. Ever. And that would be Army. A few reminders that Army won double-digit games last year, which, as a fan of obscure football, right? Most people are like, I don't know, when was the last time Army did that? It's been a while. And in addition to that, they did so against some really good teams and almost beat Oklahoma in the funniest game for a couple of reasons. It was funny because it pretty much ended Mike Stoops' career when Army rolls into Norman and on pay-per-view television. That's for another reason he didn't see it. More on that in a moment. Had 45 minutes of total possession. I'm sorry, 44 minutes and 41 seconds. The only other team that Army managed to keep off the field that long was Eastern Michigan, who they actually kept off the field for 45 minutes and 42 seconds.
The Oklahoma of Michigan.
Mike Stoops like, that's a good effort. That's fine. I'm trying.
Think about how many minutes are in a day. 45 is not that many.
You can stay on a bike that long.
He actually could not stay on a bike that long. There's no way.
If it's stationary, he could.
No, I think he like, okay, I have this niece. She's like 6 months old. And her older sister is 6 years old. And she is like a seraphim. She's like the most angelically beautiful child. My brother followed this up by producing this squalling, enormous, ginger, howling chunk of a baby girl who, at 6 months old, has thighs so big around that she is too big for, like, her baby jump up and stuff. And they figured this out because she would just fling herself out of the swing in anger that her legs were being squeezed. Anyway, that's the image that I have in my head.
I was just going to say that if Mike Stoops were on a bike and you wanted to really freak him out, all you would have to do was try to pass him, because then he'd just fly off the bike because he doesn't.
Bike Stoops.
Bike Stoops. Anyway, back to Army. They also make 91% of their fourth down conversions, go for it all the time. They're awesome. They run the triple option as slowly as anyone has ever run it. They are frustrating. They know.
Like if the Ents ran a triple option.
Yeah. They know they cannot stop you on defense. So they just try to, they blitz. They try to confuse. They try to pick the ball off, force a turnover. And otherwise it's going like 80 the other way. But that's fine. They have another 12-minute drive ready to uncork and savor. They play one team, by the way.
You will eat all this bread. Well, yeah, Army football. You will eat all this bread.
Army football, the French dinner of football, right? We are going to take 4 hours. There are 14 courses.
And you will eat all this bread.
In Europe, they eat the salad after the main course.
The going for it on fourth down is opening your fifth bottle of wine at the third course. And I really cannot endorse it enough as a way to live.
Yeah, you're projecting straight up now.
Did you just get this newsletter, Ryan? Did you just receive this bulletin? They play one team. That team, by the way, Michigan on September 7th. If you want to see something kind of scary that will still end with Michigan winning the game, but will still also be just frightening enough for the Wolverines, watching them do what everyone does, stare at Army and go, I don't know how you're doing this. Just throwing rock, right?
Army made Bill C quit.
Yeah. If you look at his preview of Army, he's like...
Made his math quit.
Yeah. Made his math quit.
Jim Harbaugh's gonna fight a troop.
Hey!
Hey, listen. The truest respect of the troops is facing them in single combat.
That's true.
And then somehow finishing third in a two-man fight.
They are
love you, Michigan.
They are delightful. If you're gonna, I really don't see any way that they're not gonna win 9 or 10 games because they are again better than everyone they face on the schedule. They don't really lose that much. They get their quarterback. They do have to replace a productive fullback, but his replacement is a thick boy named Slomko.
Is that his first name or his last name?
Slomko. Doesn't matter.
That's his full name. That's his entire name.
Yeah,
right?
That's his entire name. I was like, I could write down his whole name, but then I'm like, Slomko.
That's a very, we need to add more X-Men.
Welcome to Slomcom. This is Slomcom.
Anything is possible.
What is his power? He can hang drywall super fast.
He can run straight forward. He's like, it's like he's son of Juggernaut.
Yeah. So they have two.
Slomko, not pivot.
They have two great games, by the way. One, it's great for the viewer. That would be they play Tulane on October 5th. That's just option football in all directions, different varieties, different executions, and the coolest logo on the other side of the football in college football. So that's your like connoisseur's pick. And then there's Army's pick. The best game for Army is going to be on December 1st, where they travel to Hawaii. Because, you know. Why not? You're in West Point, New York on December 1st. Nope, we're in Hawaii. So like 9 or 10 wins, extremely fun team. I cannot endorse watching them enough, especially because on one of those 15-minute drives, you'll start to wonder, did I miss something? Have I ever done anything but watch this drive?
David Byrne, the football team.
Yeah, it can at times kind of get a little Terrence Malick. You're like, oh, the Tree of Life offense.
Terrence Malick is a sometimes food, so a little Terrence Malick is probably just about as much as we're prepared to handle.
I watch the fullback dive for days. Hey,
you
and
can't
days.
Spell why Terrence Malick without Army.
Listen, if a sparrow lands on a branch over this stadium and starts staring straight into the camera and speaking in Spanish, I am fucking out of here.
That's their quarterback, actually.
Ah.
Poetic Sparrow on branch.
I think the last name I have is UCF. I will get the football part of this out of the way relatively quickly, and that is only to say,
unlike UCF,
of all the teams we, I think, have previewed so far, UCF might have the most full cast-ass schedule yet. Here are some of the teams that they play. FAU, Stanford, Pitt, UConn, Houston, Tulane, and Luke Fickell's Cincinnati team.
Jesus.
Like, that's a very full cast fucking schedule. It is missing only, I would say, an Arizona State and what's our Big Ten school that we would throw in this mix?
Michigan?
Iowa is actually the answer.
Mm.
Michigan.
No, wait, Wisconsin.
Yes, yes. If they were playing Arizona State and Wisconsin, this would be maximum full cast scheduling, but it's not. Did you know UCF was started as a feeder school for NASA facilities, and it was originally called Florida Technological University in 1968 when it opened? And true to that mission, they do count three current or former astronauts amongst their alumni, but I maintain this is not the actual legacy of UCF, the academic institution.
Wait a second. They started as a feeder school for NASA and they only produced three astronauts?
They've produced like a bunch of other support, like people who have run mission control and have like been in charge of various laboratories and things like that.
I'm
so
just saying Tennessee has two astronauts.
Yeah, but Tennessee has Sunsphere. It's not fair.
Yeah,
not
fair. Okay. Carry
Sunsphere,
on.
The planet that came to us. Here's what UCF is actually, what their true legacy is. They, amongst their alumni base, include the CEO of the Melting Pot, the former CEO of Ruth's Chris,
wow,
the president of Red Lobster, the former senior vice president of the company that owns Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, and the Capitol Grill, and the founder slash CEO of Tijuana Flats.
Oh, we're going to take you to another planet of value flavor.
Wait, Tennessee actually has 10 astronauts. I did not know this.
If you are an unimaginative dater, buddy, you owe your dinner options to the University of Central Florida. These are the restaurants that are there for you to celebrate weddings you're not that excited about, to go to after a funeral. They are with you through all walks of life. These are the foundation of eating near the mall. And it is all thanks to the academic prowess of UCF. And that's why I'm going to go ahead and predict UCF goes undefeated this year and Woo. Finishes at the top of our division. Woo. And afterwards, we're all going to Olive Garden, baby.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
That's amazing.
Tennessee has 8 astronauts that I didn't know about.
Secret astronauts.
No, like, that's because they hitched in the back.
No, listen, I knew about 2 because they're kind of Instagram famous, like Chris Hadfield and Scott Kelly, right? I did not know that there were like 8 additional astronauts that had passed through UTSI. Anyway, sorry, astronauts. Also, sorry that you have to watch Tennessee football in space.
You don't.
Or
actually,
anywhere.
I think that's why they go
that's
to space.
That's the best reason to become an astronaut, to get as physically far away from Neyland Stadium as humans can go.
Yes. How many missions will take place in the fall, and can there be more?
That's actually a great motivation to go to space, and it's got to be like the... Actually, you know what? The aeronautical engineering building on campus is probably is probably just about as far away from like Knoxville society as you can get.
Yes, and hi. Still be on Earth. I watched October Sky, and that also happens to be when we play Alabama. So you can see where I'm putting things together here. So
yeah. Hey, you're telling me we scheduled Louisiana Tech for an opener now? Yeah. No, I'll be on the moon.
We're not planning to. I said I'll be on the moon.
Why do you think they call it? Why do you think they call it moonshine? Come on.
Woo!
We got it in space, y'all.
Listen, it's the Vol Navy, and astronaut means sailor amongst the stars.
Listen, what is, and I'm not really kidding, what is Battlestar Galactica but a Navy show set in space?
Why can't we work with rockets? We've been getting lit for years.
Not your best.
I'm going to workshop it.
All right.
Speaking.
Rocket top.
Mike Gundy's Mike Gundy's coming this year, so say we all.
Did you preview Michigan or no?
Spencer has to
do
Michigan.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
I did. I have to tell you that the first thing I want to mention about Michigan is Shea Patterson. I'm going to introduce you to the magic of two-factor verification.
Wait, I thought we determined this was fake.
Hey, guys.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Because it's officially fake.
Okay.
Right? That he didn't tweet this. Shea Patterson never tweeted from he didn't misfire a burner tweet in support of Shea Patterson, right?
Which is a shame, because that would have been fucking amazing.
Which was also critical of Jim Harbaugh's play calling. Nope, fake. Fake, but I'm just going to say for future reference, Shea, two-factor verification. Are you going to have to get a call from Google every time you want to do anything on your phone in addition to remembering a password because you're not going to use one of those like wallets or keychains to remember all of them? Yeah, probably.
Are you telling Shea Patterson a Michigan man has to be multiple?
I am suggesting that he work on his protection, if you will. Something Michigan probably needs to bone up on a little overall because after finishing third all those years,
there was the time they finished fourth.
They did not finish third last year. That's what I need to say.
What did they finish?
They finished fourth.
Ah.
Yeah. It's also been 14 years since a Big Ten title for Michigan. That's a real long time. That's very, very long, especially for a program that's as successful and vaunted as the Michigan Wolverines. They go on prestige, both athletic and academic.
Is it too early in this year for me to renew my claim that Jim Harbaugh is just Lane Kiffin with a better filter and worse pants?
Maybe.
All right, then I won't.
You know, like maybe.
We'll take this out in post.
I would also.
Oh, yeah, we take things out in post.
We'll take this out in post.
Speaking of taking things out on somebody. I remember, though, that the only kid who went to Michigan in my class was the kid who in history class would do when they were like, oh, you need to do a report on, you know, like the 20th century. And they were the ones who, you know, like half sang, half rapped along to We Didn't Start the Fire.
No.
So I will tell you, I have failed in my effort to preview Michigan because there are too many verses to this song. Way too many.
No, Spencer, no.
No, no.
Spencer.
This is happening. It happened to me, so it's going to happen to you.
It's happening at us.
Okay. It's going to happen to you, and you're just going to let it. Everyone's going to let this happen. Okay.
I'm just going to walk away from my computer, and I'm going to hope that.
Ryan, run!
Okay, I'll be back.
Yeah. Because I know that, like. I know Jane Costin did this, probably. It'll be funny. I'll put it to the lyrics. They give you a four count here, too, right? Lloyd Carr, Doris Day, your granddad like Doris Day, your granddad like I formation football. It was slow. I think it stopped on me automatically. It did. It just stopped on me automatically.
Is that it?
No, that means I have to start over. Let's see. Hold on. I can pick it up. Elvis, Gerbach, Brian, Greasy, 10 wins, and a bowl. I like that Billy Joel thought this song was so hype that he could let this same, like, lame riff go again. Like, yeah, that's Flames. Oh, I gotta start singing again. Rich Rodriguez, spread team, still don't have a winning team. Greg Robinson, defense shitting. Rich Rodriguez, goodbye. See, I'm too early. Wow. I think we go to the chorus now. Yeah, there's a chorus. Yeah, hold on. My chorus is really good here, too.
No.
Boomers destroy the planet.
Oh, he's still going.
This verse is sponsored by Honda ATVs. Hot dogs, Brady Hoke. Headsets were a running joke. Devin Gardner screaming punter. No one could block. Headsets never on. Really bothered Victor's board. That board's full of nerds. Always mad at jocks. Like his meat, got to have a winning team. Denard Robinson, he was really good. That's not relevant, but I'm singing Deal With It. Hoker signs, Harbaugh signs, Big Feds rhymes with Sue as ATVs are of value. Recreational family fun with a practical purpose. Financing is so easy. $7 a month for 300 years. O-line and running back, never found a quarterback. Lloyd Carr is a guy, loves a bridge on the River Kwai. Has a take on Charles de Gaulle, thought he was overrated. Urban Meyer homicide, 30-point loss to the Buckeyes. Gator Bowl game, what game? Who remembers? Who can say? It's third. Oh, where are we? That's good. I got lost. This is hot.
Indeed, where are we?
Y'all sing Sweet Caroline. This is stealing Boston Valor. Urban Meyer just retired. There are no excuses. There is a tanning parlor right across the street from your stadium. Go to the tanning parlor. They got as many titles as Jim Harbaugh. That's it. That's as far as I could get. Do you know how many verses there are in this song?
Oh my God, there's so much more.
There's like another two long verses.
No,
to
I
that
mean
song.
There's so many more pages in that Google Doc that I didn't know you had, or I would have thrown your computer into the street.
No, there's like another two.
Do you want to just like sing the rest of it a cappella as
no,
far as you got?
No, we're not okay. doing that. We're not doing that. Michigan's winning the Big Ten this year. That's all.
Oh, wait, I saw the thing about Hemingway and Eichmann, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's a We Didn't Start the Fire verse, but I thought it was something you had written about Michigan.
Hemingway and Eichmann, they played for the 42 Michigan Wolverines team.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Ryan, it's not safe, but you can come back.
The best part was that Jason and Ryan didn't know I was going to do that.
The worst part is that I had warning and still didn't run.
Yeah, Holly, you were complicit in that.
I'm like that dude who hung out on Mount St. Helens and was like, I ain't leaving. And true to form, he didn't leave.
Hey, if you made it through that, Michigan's going to win the Big Ten this year. That's all.
There you have it. So that's one kind of yellow division
that's
that has been previewed.
That's the end of this episode. Jesus Christ.
Value.
Holly, how do we want to go through ours?
Fast.
Okay. Well, Iowa's in it, so I don't know if it's going to be.
Oh, God. All right.
Is Spencer? Hi, is Spencer? Hey, I'm back. Is Spencer done?
Yeah, Spencer's done.
Okay, cool. God, in so many ways.
Yeah, no, I'm totally done, Ryan.
No!
Yeah, still going!
Damn it.
No! Let's keep it going, y'all!
Holly, what if we go just alphabetical order?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that would lead us off with App State, which was really good last year. 11-win team. Should have won at Penn State. And guess what? That's going to continue. They're still going to be really good despite a coaching change, bringing in the man most suited to coach this program, Eliah Drinkwitz. They bring back almost everyone from that team. And beyond just that, not only do they bring back 18 of 24 starters this year, if we're counting kickers and punters, 16 of those guys are sophomores or juniors, meaning they're already loaded for next year. So far they're averaging 10 wins a year at the FBS level, and there's really every reason to believe you can add 10 more wins this year and 10 more next year, give or take. It's so like, yeah, FCS can translate to FBS just fine. This is the regular reminder for those Kansas State fans who were freaking the fuck out because they hired an FCS coach. It's actually football. It's also football. This year, the teams that goofed up by scheduling App State are UNC and South Carolina, which App State could be favored against UNC, and South Carolina, maybe that spreads like it's probably under a touchdown. So good job. Very good job. UNC, both of you, I think, did this scheduling deal in 2017, 2018, right around there. When you had plenty of advance warning that App State is actually good and, you know, not just a FCS Dynasty, an actual FBS thing. Not only did you schedule them at home, you're also going to Boone. UNC is going to Boone in 2022.
Delicioso.
Mac Brown's replacement, probably. You know, Mac will sort of right the ship a little bit, then sail along somewhere else, probably Texas.
How is Mac Brown enjoying retirement?
By the time Mac is back at Texas, UNC, you got to go to Boone. They really might be better than you, just straight up better than you at the time. That was really all I wanted to point out, is that teams are just willingly scheduling App State like
that.
Yeah,
stop doing that, except don't ever stop doing that.
Has App State ever played North Dakota State? Is that a crossing the streams scenario?
Ooh.
I don't believe...
You
don't
cross a lot of streams to get to those places.
That's true. Coasts. You're referring
App's
to
run
coasts.
At the top of FCS was kind of over when NDSU was on the way up. Mm.
Can we get that scheduled? Can we harass both teams into scheduling? You think you're the biggest, baddest. Like, can we make that happen?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that.
Cool.
So yeah, that was all. App, their Vegas over-under is 9, and if I had to go one way or the other, I would go over. Their schedule is just nothing. I mean, beyond UNC and South Carolina, it's.
Remember, so, Alex Kirshner told us UNC is going to win, what, 8 games this year?
So. He said 7. I think if you want to push him to 8, he's not here to defend himself. So yeah,
coward.
He said 9.
Sometimes
he
I
said UNC is going 9-3.
On young AK, and then I listened to him for a whole episode, and now I think we should probably put him in a crate for a little bit.
Coward.
He didn't
even tell us about Ribfest. God damn it.
Yeah, seriously. What did we hire you for?
Next up is Cal. The Cal Bears. Here are a few stats. So we've talked about this a little bit, but the depth of this identity trend is just staggering and amazing. Here are Cal's defensive rankings in yards per play over the last 6 years. 119th, 107th, 102nd, 122nd, 80th, 9th.
Someone hit a growth spurt.
Or, you know, an earthquake.
So I got my medication right, y'all.
So going from 2018, that sudden top 10 defense, to 2019, will this trend stop? Will they fall back down? Let's put it like this. The whole secondary returns. It should be one of the, like, 5 best in the country. They return a couple really disruptive linebackers. One of the other guys was the number one JUCO at his position. And as basically as long as the line is okay, then this is a second straight top 20 defense at Cal, the place that for years and years was one of the worst defenses in the country. Meanwhile, over on offense, back as recently as 2015, they had a top 10 offense. Their last 2 offensive rankings, 103rd and 121st, they have completely flipped to such a comprehensive degree that, I mean, I think the old Cal brand, like the pew, 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 all that shit, really good offense, really bad defense, this is more entrenched than that was. They only had one actually really good offense in that entire run. The big secret is they were just shitty at football. There was one year where they had one good unit, and it formed this like, Cal is very good at one thing and bad at everything else. No, actually, Cal is bad at everything. Now, they actually have an identity, which is that they are good at defense, and everything else is just shitty Cal football. This offense that was 121st last year, it is now replacing basically its entire skill core. The one good thing for the offense is that one of the new offensive linemen, his name is Gentle, and that means he's mean as shit, I'm
Wait,
assuming.
Gentle or Gentile?
Gentle.
Okay.
Gentle Gentile, that's his name.
MOON, that spells Cal football.
Gentle Williams is his name. So that dude is
beautiful,
I would not fuck with that guy on any day.
No.
That sounds like a craft bourbon.
Also, his Twitter handle is AfroMan64, and his hair can back it up. That's a great head of hair.
Gentle Williams.
Let's see. So Cal, maybe make a bowl. It's going to be absolutely hideous. The Cheez-It Bowl last year, that was completely representative of modern Cal football. now for a completely different flavor of football from all defense, no offense. Let's go to Iowa.
Oh, God. All right. Matt, I can't stop reading my notes in like that Billy Joel cadence. And I'm extremely upset. Right. Kirk Ferentz is now the granddaddy of them all. That's a phrase that I just came up with to describe Iowa football. As he enters his 21st season as Iowa's football coach, many of you may have heard, Kirk Ferentz is signed through 2026 and will survive the heat death of the universe and, in fact, become richer afterwards. Let's see. What else do you need to know? Iowa is super Iowa this year because they have to, I can't stop laughing. Listen, stop me if you... Hey, Iowa has to replace production at tight end, and their punter isn't very good.
What?
What is wrong with you, Iowa?
Gadzooks!
Although, counterpoint, he's back as a senior. Iowa Punter Redemption Tour.
You say it as a joke, but they live this.
Is the headline. Okay, they got a what else? They got a returning senior quarterback, though. That's nice. Nate Stanley has thrown more touchdowns in 2 years than any other quarterback in school history. He's not even secretly good, which is normally the Iowa thing. He's just like the regular kind of good. Iowa has no returning receivers. I'm not even sure that even matters. Since Iowa wins double-digit games every 5 or 6 years at this rate based on the Big Ten football zodiac, count on next year because 2015 still isn't far enough away from where we are right now. Deep breath. Iowa's road schedule. Iowa State, Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska. It's not weak, but it's also manageable. Do not at me. Sadly, they do not play Ohio State, who, if you did not know, Iowa beat Ohio State 55-24 in 2017.
What?
Iowa beat Ohio State 55-24 in a football game in 2017.
I do think it's rude that you're ruling out an Iowa-Ohio State Big Ten championship game.
Look, I'm just trying to get through this as fast as fucking possible before Spencer comes up with another. Like, I'm concerned, basically, that Spencer has crossed the Billy Joel dateline and from far from being pursued by Billy Joel at every turn is now pursuing him. Like, he's Woody Woodpeckered. He's roadrunnered around the globe and is now approaching Billy Joel from behind.
No, it's that wouldn't happen. It's not.
Stop! No! No!
He's behind me!
No! Is this because of all that Michael Bolton I played last year?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, the most Iowa line possible on their roster comes from Mark Morehouse of Cedar Rapids, the Gazette of Cedar Rapids. Banwert is a tough, no-nonsense, classic Iowa lineman from Iowa. His folks operate a trucking and hauling company in Odison. He doesn't know what a silver spoon looks like. He'll work.
That I gotta be honest. You I have questions about your eligibility at that point.
I wanna fucking frame this. He doesn't know what a silver spoon looks like.
Can identify metal.
That means he's pretty stupid.
Like, I don't own a Fabergé egg, nor have I held one, but I know what it looks like.
I mean, a fucking spoon.
Yeah, see, it's the color of silver. Actually, is this cause for concern if you are an Iowa lineman and you cannot identify either metal or a utensil?
He has utensil blindness, and it proves he's gritty.
America's recent trend towards serving everything in bowls has been his greatest lifelong challenge as he tries to scoop KFC into his hands using only his mashed potato-covered thumbs.
I saw him eat a whole bowl of spaghetti with a spatula.
My parents are trucks. Both
he's
of them.
He's at the restaurant like, sir, there's something wrong with this spork.
Sir, this fork is all melted together.
Anyway, thank you, Mark Morehouse of Cedar Rapids, the Gazette of Cedar Rapids.
What do you win for coming in second place? Chrome.
I'm sorry. Like that has nothing to do with anything. I'm just
witness
like,
me.
He doesn't know what a silver spoon looks like. It'll work. Oh, God. Oh, God. Wright Thompson is seething.
This man hates Bed Bath & Beyond.
I mean, everybody hates Bed Bath & Beyond.
And Morton Joe, watch me eat these cheese curds.
All right.
God. I love the part in The Matrix where there is no silver spoon.
War lumps. War lumps. All right. Anyway, Iowa looks like an 8-4 regular season team with possible losses to Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State, and the obligatory mystery Ference loss somewhere in there.
Mystery Ference.
Mystery Ference loss somewhere in there. Don't act like it couldn't happen. This team lost a Northwestern and a pretty bad Wisconsin team last year. Lawrence of Arabia, Pope Paul Malcolm X.
I know I've said this many times over the years. Now I actually hate our podcast.
God, I do too, man. I really do. That's all I have to say about Iowa.
So the inexplicable Ference loss, you also get the inexplicable Ference win, right?
Yep.
Like yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Penn State, I'm calling it.
There you go. As long as, like, the record will get to something boring, but it'll do it in the weirdest way possible.
Hey, remember that year Iowa almost made the college football playoff?
Yeah, they came, like, 1 yard away.
Yep. That's a thing that happened.
They came one dude's arm away from making the playoff. They would have done great, too.
They would not have done worse than Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Come on.
That's the important
thing. I mean, maybe they would have scored.
They wouldn't have scored less.
Right. Yeah. True.
They would have handed a trophy to an Iowa lineman. He would have gone, "What is this?
What the fuck is this thing? Get this shit out of my sight.
This better not be a spoon.
We eat soup with knives." Time for Missouri, which I think we are looking sort of at Barry Odom as this, like, and when I say we, I don't really just mean our podcast, as sort of this just like placeholder lump who overmatched, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think you look at what he's done so far and you compare it to like the average Gary Pinkel year. And I don't know. I think things are fine at Mizzou. Like Pinkel was very, very up or down. And so far, Odom has been steady, at least at a wins and losses level. And I think this looks like another year of that. And I think the actual on-field product could probably more reflect what he would like to have than the fuck it, going deep ethos of Drew Locke. Now you have Kelly Bryant coming in. Kelly Bryant is like, I think, the epitome of a college-style game manager. You know, he's going to be efficient. He's going to run a little bit. He just moves the chains, you know. And if you're a former linebacker as a head coach, that you might propose marriage to a quarterback who does this. I think, you know, this could, you know, maybe this trickles down and helps out Mizzou's defense a little bit. I think looking at the schedule, this is a team that Vegas has them at 6.5. Seven sounds fine. You could even push to 8 wins. You have, you know, Wyoming. You're going to beat Wyoming. You might lose to Wyoming. That'd be hilarious. But you're probably going to beat Wyoming. You get a down team in week 2 that we will talk about in a few minutes. Your West schedule, Arkansas is your eternal blood rival. And then you get Ole Miss, quite arguably the two worst teams from the West. And one of your road games is Georgia, which you weren't going to win anyway. So you're two birds with one stone there. You have 11 games you could win. If you were to do that, then Barry Odom would basically have the same win percentage so far at Mizzou as Gary Pinkel, despite NCAA sanctions and so forth. Barry Odom's doing fine. He hired Derek Dooley and everything is still going fine.
Here's the problem. Barry Odom needs to have a bad year and get fired in the middle of the year so that we can have interim Missouri head coach Brick Haley. That's it. Okay. That's the whole argument. I want Brick Haley to become the full, the interim head coach, and then hopefully do well enough that he's the full-time head coach.
Brick Haley sounds like a name you would give a white girl. You know, you have to name a white
baby
girl.
That's actually what I'm going to call my chunk niece from now on.
Brickley.
Well, after I got done with Smith, my roommate and I, Brick Haley.
Oh, listen, man, they live in Augusta. If they ever hear the word semiotics, it's going to be like somebody mispronouncing cornmeal.
B-R-Y-K-K-A-L-E-I.
Apostrophe.
Oof.
So I'm starting a gift shop
But it also sells horse tack.
Y'all, my sister-in-law is from Franklin. We're lucky her name's not Kaylee with three E's.
The extra E is for excellence.
For some reason. Yeah, I'm going to have to change my name because of Brexit.
The extra E is for the Book of Esther.
Yeah, I know of a child named Deuter after Deuteronomy, by the way.
No!
Yep.
Not Ron? I assume everybody named Ron is named after Deuteronomy.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Deuter.
I thought I was ahead of the pack knowing two people whose Christian names are Tater and one whose name is Corndog, but as usual, Jason laughs.
I can't believe we did a whole Bible episode where you didn't bring that up.
Seriously, what?
It's a bottomless reservoir, y'all. The content will continue.
Jesus wept. Deuter!
Deuter.
Deuter.
Hey, Deuter.
Okay, wait. So, can you guys help me plumb the depths of the weirdest Southern nickname I have ever heard?
Sure.
Which is, and I'm now trying to figure out what biblical name it was short for. It's Beester.
Spell it, please.
Like B-E-E-S-T-E-R.
Beesteronomy?
Beester?
That's a Beester bunny.
Beester Sunday.
Beester, get off Monday.
That's when the Easter Bunny goes beast mode.
Easter Sunday is when you do CrossFit instead of going to church.
Yeah, I did Murphy, and then I prayed. Did Murph. That's how I pray. AMRAPs.
You gotta drop this bar three times.
As many reverences as possible.
I can't believe they don't do that when, like, the spring game is the Saturday before Easter. You know, so you put out the Twitter meme that's like, come on out for Beaster Saturday.
listen, don't be a hero, man. Even Jesus had a spotter.
Man, is Good Friday, is that really like Beaster Friday?
Beaster.
It's time to go back to space. Let's talk about the Toledo Rockets.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. I volunteered for this one because I've been a long time Toledo Rockets fan. This isn't actually a joke. I'm sorry. Spencer's got his finger poised over that fucking Billy Joel video again.
Could drop it anytime.
I'm gonna turn you upside down and shake you.
I want to be very clear. If he does that again, I am stopping the episode.
Thank you.
Right now.
Okay.
It will cut off in the fucking middle, and we will be done.
Okay.
It burns on and on.
Stop. I will break.
Spencer, I will stop the call, and I will hang. I will.
I know.
God.
The nuclear option.
I'm so sad and scared.
Remember, it's not deterrence if the other person is insane.
Jesus. All right. If you know the Toledo.
Kim Jong Il of the podcast.
Oh my God. Kim Jong Trill. If you know Toledo, you probably know them as that place what produced Matt Campbell. Can you guys name Toledo's head coach?
No.
Candle.
What's his first name?
Jason.
Jason Candle.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't think anybody was going to get that. Anyway, yeah, his name is the improbable Jason Candle, spelled like the thing that lights a rocket.
That's very a character in The Librarian.
Yeah, which, you know, only makes me love them more. I know. As Ryan knows, Toledo's 2 years removed from a MAC title. They have a pair of running backs who I like because they look like. Or they sound like characters out of the original Contra video game. Bryant Kobach and Shaquif Seymour. Like, who's the loose cannon? Trick question. They're both loose cannons. They're both underclassmen. They're really good running backs. Their defense is shaky, but their schedule is okay. Toledo's schedule is kind of wild. It's manageable in terms of opponents. But they spend all of October at home, and the entire last month of their schedule is on the road, which, yikes, firm up. You can watch them early this season if you want to. They are Kentucky's season and opener, but I'm going to use the rest of my time to encourage you to go to a Toledo football game. I've been encouraging people to do this for the better part of a decade now. Go to a game. Their stadium is a glass bowl, which implies vaping, which should draw way more people from Ohio than it does. But Toledo shares a quality that you would see in, say, Greenville, North Carolina, going to an East Carolina game. Their fans are mean as shit.
Mm.
In a really, really fun and festive way, if you are not on the end of their meanitude.
Yeah.
I would encourage you, if you have a moment to... I think that they are probably another year removed from kind of getting back into conference title contention, but it's the MAC, who knows? Get up to, if you don't have a lot else going on, get up to Toledo sometime in October and watch them play. It is just one of my favorite small school venues in the nation. And you know that this is true, because otherwise, why am I encouraging you to set foot in Ohio? I love you.
You also willingly went to a Rutgers game for work once. So
no, that was for work, and I learned my lesson too, because I got locked in the stadium after with the Tennessee Florida game on the television. Yeah,
I mean, lots of,
you know why Ralph Russo is bald, right? He wasn't bald going into that game. He was bald because he was locked in the stadium with me.
That's the worst superhero origin story ever.
Sorry, Ralph.
I was exposed to massive amounts of Rutgers football, but somehow my body survived.
Yeah.
And now I'm bald.
Do you think it's weird that me and everybody I worked with lost our jobs like 3 days after that game?
No.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
No.
Life's funny. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about Toledo. It's Toledo. We've been podcasting for like 70 minutes now, so I'm going to try and wrap this up quickly. They got two really good running backs, and go to this game. They are a lot of fun to hang out with, Toledo fans.
So that's five teams in this division. there's one more.
Okay, all right. I'm going to bring it on home here. West Virginia. Y'all, I've been through a lot, okay? I've been through a lot. I grew up watching Tennessee football, and I always had my ancestral team to fall back on. And then they let Rich Rodriguez leave because they were dum-dums and didn't want to give him staff raises and didn't want to let local coaches into football games for free like they used to, and didn't want to make facilities upgrades. And then I still think it's possible that I actually killed Bill Stewart with the hate that was in my heart, and I don't feel great about that. And then, you know, one of my favorite coaches on the planet lands in my beloved West Virginia football team. And then spirits away in the night to a place where I think that he'll both be a lot happier. Dana has done the opposite of going to live on a farm to chase squirrels.
He'll be chasing. Don't worry.
He's gone to live with a very nice family in the big city. And I can't talk about this team without going cold all over, because y'all, Butch Jones was in the mix to get this job. And whenever I think about this team, I get the... Oh, God. I watched what Dan Enos going from Central Michigan to Arkansas did to Chris Driver, y'all. And he wasn't even the head coach at his second stop.
If they had hired Butch Jones, I legit would have... I would have gotten the number of every single explosives ordnance within 250 miles and given them your face and been like, be on the lookout.
Oh, they'll never see me coming. This is a bladed weapon mission. And those are already all in my teeth.
Listen, pretty soon Butch is gonna figure out his true calling, and that's Howie Long's butt double.
Oh God. You know, like one time my mom, my mother has been taking Tai Chi classes for many, many years now, and at one point I came home for a visit, and this was I think earlier this year, and she was on her way out the door to Tai Chi, and I was kind of joking. She just had a little tote bag, and I was like, hey, Mom, when do they give you one of those swords? Because, you know, I've seen the Tai Chi practitioners that use the big wooden swords. And she whirled, and with this look of perfect calm, she goes, my hands are my swords, and just walks out the door. Anyway, if Butch Jones had taken this job,
Never seen a sword in her life.
Y'all, I'd be in jail. I would be in jail. Like, I would be under a jail somewhere. If this had happened, I just, I don't know what I feel like survivor's guilt and vertigo and how close we came. And also, he's still out there. He's still out there. He's, oh God. Oh God. And now Tennessee is coached by someone even worse. And anyway, Neil
yeah,
Brown.
I mean, to be clear, Holly, we make Urban Meyer jokes about USC, but Butch is getting that job.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, that's fine. Cause that's far away from me now. Yeah. Yeah. That's far, far, far away from me now. Anyway, Neil Brown was sitting there like overdue for a good job. And now we see why. He was there to be my personal savior. He has a hell of a rebuilding job on the roster, but I would like for you to look at what I personally have been through emotionally. This is the point where my notes say, and I'm quoting here in all caps, girl, you need a good man, a man who goes to church. I hope Neil Brown does not go to church too much. He is taking over for Dana. It's West Virginia. Recruiting's hard. Dana always had a lot of success pulling guys out of Florida. Neil Brown is they're air raid cousins. They're kind of, he's kind of system adjacent to Dana, but if there's a bright, shiny spot on the horizon that I'm pointing the black pit where my heart should be towards, it's this. Look, this year is going to be probably a little rocky for my precious Mountaineers. That's fine. They've got a good coach. I hope he hangs around for a while. I hope the administration is smart enough to keep him around for a while, because I think he could actually be a weirdly perfect fit, and I have no reason to expect good things out of football because I'm a Tennessee and West Virginia fan. But listen, do y'all want to know what's giving me hope? Do y'all want to know the one thing that's giving me hope? Hmm. I don't care what happens. The disrespect of it just puts life in my veins. Hmm. They booked Texas for homecoming. Texas is the homecoming game.
Texas, I hope y'all have seen Carrie. All right,
I got nothing.
I don't know.
Should we end? Should we? No.
Oh
no!
Shit! All right.
All right. Bye.
Oh, we should end it.